But by seeing the vision, the Spirit will lead us into all reality. We do not need to fear. We don't need to fear to say Abba Father too often. That's not what it is all about. But the Lord wants us to know Him more. And also to grasp this wonderful God in all His aspects. I'm sure, just as the Lord said, when the Spirit comes, He will lead you into all reality. Will lead you into all truths. It's not that we want to do something, but the Spirit will lead us into the truth, bit by bit. We don't need to worry, and we don't need to analyze too much, but we must see. And the more we see, surely the Spirit will lead us into these truths. No need to worry. You know, brothers and sisters, the Bible did not explain too much. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He did not explain anything else. So sometimes we explain too much. So may the Lord give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. For this reason, Paul prayed. This prayer of Paul in Ephesians 1 is very, very precious. He prayed to our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that He would give us all a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need this. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed very much the many sharings this morning, and I wish that there would be more sharings from the brothers. The Lord gave us so many brothers in the church. It's not good that there is only one person in the church that can share. That is not good. And if he's wrong, then what? Then we'll all be wrong. The Lord did not call only one apostle, but He had 12 apostles. And later on, there was not only Paul, but there was also Barnabas. And there was Apollos. Praise the Lord. And then there was a couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And many others. And there was Timothy. Isn't that good? And there was Titus. And Paul also had other young co-workers. And all of them were faithful and bore the testimony of the Lord further. Paul never said, I am the great apostle, and you all have to listen to me. But even Timothy and Titus, they were looked upon as apostles in the churches. Don't think that only the old apostles are worth something. We need so many brothers to share. But when we share, do not share from your head, but from the Spirit, out from your spirit. Paul said, you want a proof that who it is in me that speaks, it is Christ. When all the saints in the church, whether it be sisters or brothers, when you share from the heart, from the spirit, How beautiful it is. How glorious would then the church be? Instead, every Sunday, there's only one brother standing there working very hard to give a message, and all the hearers just suffer. Oh, Lord. In any case, it is very healthy and it's very wonderful. When here in the house of the Lord, everyone has something of the Spirit to share. It will be such an enjoyment to all the saints. And that's why in the house of the Lord, we do not have the system that one person leads. And only one person speaks Sunday after Sunday. It's very tiring. It's very tiring for the speaker as well as for the audience. Sometimes it's harder for the audience to listen than for the speaker. I'm very sorry that during a conference that you all have to just sit there. But dear brothers and sisters, sometimes it is also necessary, but not all the time. Can you imagine that every Sunday we have such long meetings? That doesn't work either. But the testimonies of the brothers and sisters are so edifying and so refreshing. Isn't it refreshing this morning? Don't you want more of it? Amen. Do you see? Everybody agrees. And that's what the brother shared. For instance, what Hans Günther shared is very, very important. That the glory of the Lord cannot remain with God alone. Of course, God is glorious in himself. And we only want to see the glory of God in God himself. But in this vision of Ezekiel, the glory is not only God who is sitting there alone on the throne, but now we see further what Ezekiel saw. What did he see? Did he see God directly? What did he see? He saw the four living creatures. That's wonderful. And later in chapter 10, he found out that these were the cherubims. The cherubims, that's what he saw. And in the Bible, the cherubim, these angels always have something to do with the glory of God. For instance, on the ark, there were two golden cherubims there that protects the glory of God. In any case, the glory of God is not just directly from God. Of course, it's understood that God is glorious, but God wants to express his glory through his creation. Can you imagine that if God did not create anything and he's there alone, who would then see his glory? Where would people see his glory today? Paul said in Romans, it's through his creation. The creation is so very wonderful. Once I met a young student at the airport in Hong Kong. He did not believe in God at all. A Chinese from China. We were there and we talked to each other. And I asked, who who made the first computer? Yes, when? And if I were to tell you, he was sitting there with his computer. If I were to tell you, nobody created this computer. It just came through thousands of years. It just came together by itself with many, many metal parts, bang, bang, bang. And in the end, a wonderful computer came into being. Would you believe that? What would you say? Then you would say, oh, then you're crazy. And I told him, that's right. Then you have to say that I'm crazy. But then I said, your brain, it functions much, much better than your computer here. You have a hard disk in there. It's an unlimited hard disk. Everything that you hear, that you see, everything that you've experienced, it would all be stored in your brain, and it doesn't go bad. You do not have to plug in. And you can compute, calculate, you understand everything. There's so many things that are stored since the day you were born. And it would not be full, and you don't need to delete anything. Even if you, although you want to delete something, you know, you want to get rid of some music, the music will be playing by itself. You don't need an iPod. I said, you go ask the neurologists how complicated the brain is. You know, recently, the scientists discovered a wonderful picture of our brain. And we see the how the many small of it's just all the connections, different colors, you know, all the connections, all. Yes, God coded everything. And you want to tell me that no one did this? You're crazy. Then I asked him further, who made the first camera? Who made the best lens? Is it Zeiss here in Germany? Where's Daniel? Daniel, you have to tell your boss, it's not Zeiss that makes the best lens. You have to ask, who made the first lens? Look at your eye. Look at the lens. It's fully automatic, fully autofocus, day and night. You don't need to clean it. You need to blink a couple of times and it's clear again. With my glasses, you know, when I come out of the air-conditioned room, I cannot see anything. But with my own eyes, no matter how the temperature changes, it would not be dulled. So who makes the best lens? Do you think that there is no God? Then he said, yeah, I never thought of that. Our God is wonderful. And when you see something like this, then you see the glory of God. No one thinks about it. Oh, we admire Picasso. Oh, that Picasso's painting, it's terrible. And my young grandson can paint better than Picasso. But look at nature. Look at the mountains, look at the Alps. Go to the Canadian Rockies. And go to Skagen, Denmark. Sister Rhea was telling me, oh, that's the most beautiful place on earth. I don't know whether it's true. Well, it may be because it's God who created that. In the very northern part of Denmark, who made this all this? When you see all this and yet you don't see the glory and the power of God, then you are truly blind. You're truly blind. If God had not created anything, then we would never be able to see His glory. And we, with our own eyes, we are not able to see such a light, because the Bible says that God lives in a light which we cannot reach. Can you look at the sun? Have you ever tried to look into the sun? It's not recommended. Because if you look directly at the sun, in the end, you might be blinded. And when Paul saw this light, what happened to him? He became blind. In the book of Revelations, it says that his countenance shone as the sun in its might. So who can look at him? Who can look at him directly? But we can see his glory everywhere. Even when I look at this hall, I must say, I must admire God. You created men or people who are so capable to build this hall. I've never seen a monkey who had built a house. Have you? And then you want to tell me that we come from monkeys? Or apes? Oh, Lord Jesus. Fallen man has become so blind, and they fell into darkness and they see nothing. They do not recognize or realize the glory of God. So the Lord must open our eyes. And as what Hans Günther said is really wonderful, he's right. God doesn't want to keep this glory between the Father and the Son, and the Son and the Father, and the Father and the Son. That's too boring. The Father to the Son, and the Father, a Son to the Father, and then again from the Father to the Son. This glory has to be passed on. And in particular, it would be passed on to his saints. But unfortunately, the enemy knew. And so the enemy attempts to destroy the church. If you go on to read in John chapter 17, where Hans Günther Wopp began to read, in the very end it says, Father, I have given to them the glory which you have given to me, so that they all could be how? That they all could be one. That they all may be one. This glory is for the oneness. Without oneness, if we're all divided and scattered, and we're all in Babylon. Babylon came from this Tower of Babel. Even the children have heard about the story of the Tower of Babel, have you not? Right? Even the unbelievers, they know what the meaning of the Tower of Babel. And Babylon is actually Babel. At that time, on the whole earth, there was only one people and one language. But after God's judgment, after they became idolatrous, each one wanted to make his own name, And they wanted to build a tower so high that it would reach the heavens. You see how high you can build. How high a building can man build? God just needs to send an earthquake. You know, with the strength of number 9, well, maybe not even 9, but just 7.9, as then everything would fall apart, would just crumble. But God saw man's work, and he said, let us go down and confuse their language. And suddenly, they did not understand one another. Suddenly, one started speaking Chinese. And then the one who spoke German says, what are you saying there? And there was a confusion of languages. In the end, they just parted ways. Each one went his own direction. So is the case with us Christians today. Although we say that we have the same God, the same Savior, do you have a different Bible than I? Everyone sees something different, everyone understands something different, everyone does something different. Oh, you know the story. Do you mean to say that that's glory? Some even say that, oh, that is the, what is that? That is the manifold glory of God. That's the riches of God. That's a manifold flesh of man. The Bible says, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, that if you are so divided, are you not fleshly? He did not say, oh, that's very good. It brings forth the manifold riches of the Lord. Hooray, go on. The more groups, the merrier. Do you think that's how it is? For the body of Christ, for the church, for God's expression and God's glory, what would destroy this glory? Division. And according to the Bible, division is the work of the flesh. The work of the flesh. And at the end, we'll be competing one with another. If one comes from the other group, then you say, why are you stealing our sheep? You're sheep stealers. You're stealing sheep. Are they your sheep? Is that your flock? Or is it the Lord's flock? No wonder the Lord rebuked the shepherds. He said a hard word to them. You do not feed my sheep, but you devour my sheep. Oh Lord. So I don't want to be distracted from the glory of the Lord. I have no intention to talk about Babylon, but we need to see what hinders and what destroys the glory of God. It's not the unbelievers. In those days, who was against the Lord? It wasn't the Romans. It was the people of God. With their religious background and concepts and even jealousy. Look at the whole world. The whole world is following after him. What will happen to us? We lose our position. We lose our income, our bread. In the end, what would remain for the Lord? Nothing. So, brothers and sisters, we have to see that this glory of God is not expressed directly from God. We must see this. It's not possible for our eyes, for our fallen human beings, to see God directly. All those who saw this glory, those who saw this vision, whether it be Daniel or Isaiah or Ezekiel or John or Paul, they all fell down. If someone would say, "Oh, I saw the glory of God and rejoiced and would be jumping around," I don't know what this person had seen. All the people that I know in the Bible who saw the glory of God, they all fell down. They were all knocked down. And you would be jumping around? There's a worm somewhere. There's a worm inside here. There's something wrong here. No. The glory of the Lord is indescribable. It's glorious. There's fire and there's judgment. This alloy is not only of gold and silver, but there's a small proportion of copper. And copper means judgment. So later you will see that John saw he who was on the throne, so above from his waist, above it's electrum, but below the waist it's copper. Burning copper. Wherever he went, because the whole earth was fallen, because we people have become fleshly. Everywhere where the Lord went, he judged. Because there's so much corruption, fallen beings, there's sinful flesh. Do you don't have any flesh anymore? Are you so holy? Do you have no sin that's hidden in your heart? We want to live before him. Yes, please. Try to live before him. If you live before him, then you have to fall down and to confess your sins. John said, if we say that we have no sin, then we lie. Then he said, then you lie. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us of our sins. But if I would hide and said, oh, I have no problems, praise the Lord. You may cry hallelujah. But if you see him, everything will be exposed. The psalmist said, Psalm 139, he said, he is a God who searches our hearts and our inner parts. For such a glory, sometimes it's good that we do not encounter it directly. Then how can we see his glory? How can we behold his glory? Praise the Lord is through the four living creatures. Don't you appreciate the four living creatures? Let's read the text in Ezekiel. Beginning with chapter 1, verse 5. Beginning with verse 5. 5 through 14. We have a little time. We're not in a rush, right? We'll take time. Verse 5, and from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Isn't that wonderful? Don't think that the glory of the Lord have strange likeness. If there's something strange, if you see a monster, you would run away. They had what? They had the likeness of a man. Praise the Lord. And each one of them had four faces, and each one of them had four wings. Their feet were straight feet, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of a calf's foot, and they sparkled as the look of burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, were the hands of a man, and all of the four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They did not turn when they went. They went each one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each of the four had the face of a man in front. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle at the back. Thus were their faces. Two of their wings stretched upward. Two wings of each one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And each one went straight forward, and they went wherever the Spirit wanted to go. And they did not turn when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches. And the fire moved back and forth among the living creatures. And the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lit lightning. The living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like flashes of lightning. Amen. Have you seen this? Is it clear? It's very clear. We all need to see this vision. Go home and pray. Amen. That's right. Lord, show us of your glory. We really want to see something. Just as we have mentioned before, God wants to be expressed through His glory, through the glory in His creation. Through which creation? If you were God, what would you choose? Would you choose a monkey? Can you imagine that one day God would send His Son in the likeness of a monkey or a gorilla, or He came in the likeness of an elephant? That would not be appropriate, surely. God sent His Son, and He became a man. That's wonderful. Because in the entire creation of God, at the very end, on the sixth day, God created man. And in this creation, surely God had a plan. He did not use the animals, the fish, or the birds in the air. He did not create those in the image of God. That would not be good. Can you imagine a bird flying up in the air with the face of a man? That would be terrible. But God created man with a wonderful purpose. He wanted his expression. He wanted his glory be expressed through man. Man should show forth the glory of God. And through mankind, God wanted to reign. That was God's purpose. That's why, praise the Lord, that we are man. Isn't that wonderful? There are many other animals. Occasionally, we may see people would be walking around with a poodle or a collie. It's very nice to look at, but I wouldn't want to be a dog. Oh, a parrot has so many colors, but I'm happy with my color. One color is good enough for me. I don't understand why people would make their hair as yellow and blue and purple and lilac or all kinds of colors. For a parrot, it's very beautiful. But for man, that is not glory. No, that's not nice. God created man in his image. Several times in the scriptures, it's mentioned. We do not have time this morning to talk about that. But if you read the scripture, in Psalm 8, O Lord, how glorious is your name on all the earth. But there's so many things on this earth. There's heaven and earth. There's the sun, there's the stars, the moon, the birds, the fish, the animals, and there's the there's the cattle, and then there's so many things. And then he said, what is man that you would consider him? Why did you love man so much? Why? What is the reason? And then in the book of Hebrews, it shows us again in Hebrews chapter 2. Let's read the book of Hebrews. It's good to have an impression once again of him. Since we're talking about the four living creatures, you have to remember that God's glory is being expressed through his creation. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. Of course, there are also angels, but then God did not choose the angels. Verse 5. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands, and have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, amen, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Up to this part. You see, brothers and sisters, God wants to show us, man, His glory. Do appreciate yourself as a human being. Do not throw away your being, your human being. Do not waste it. What is lower than the angels? That was His flesh. But what God created in us, mankind, that's the most precious thing in the entire universe. And just because this was God's plan, that's why Satan tried to destroy mankind. That is the battle. Firstly, He came into man, He corrupted man by bringing His nature, the sinful nature, into man through the disobedience of Adam. Sin entered into mankind, and through sin, death came. And so death reigned in all men. And all have sinned. What did Paul say? All have sinned and come short of what? Come short of the glory of God. That means we people are indebted. We owe our Creator, not because you have sinned. And the Lord gave His life for our salvation. He bore our sins. What do you owe God for? You owe Him glory. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because we were created for this wonderful glory. Do you appreciate this? Amen? Really so? Amen? Not so? If you say amen, why do you not live in such a way that you will express the wonderful glory of our God? Why do you live your fallen life according to the lusts of your flesh? To fulfill the lusts of your flesh, the longings of your flesh. Unfortunately, we do not have this concept in our mind. We just read, all have sinned, period. And the second part of this verse is not important to us. George, when you preach the gospel to people, when you use Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Do you continue to read the rest to them too? Most of the time not. Or if you would just read it, you're just reading the verse. You do not have this burden to show them why it is so terrible that they have sinned. Why? So your gospel is only that, oh, you have sinned. You're full of sin. So you will end up in the lake of fire. So you need to be saved from the lake of fire. And then after that? Oh, then you go to heaven. But the Bible didn't say that. All have sinned and are not allowed in heaven. Is that your translation? Well, I can't read Greek. All have sinned and cannot go to heaven. Peter won't let you in. Because Peter has the key, right? Because he has the key. After one dies and Peter would go flip through and says, no, no, you're not registered here. You can't enter in here. That is a religious concept. But it's not like that. After you're saved, you have to pay this debt. You have to lead a life that would bring forth the expression of this wonderful God. This is the most wonderful thing in the house of the living God. What did Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 3? The house of the living God, the mystery of godliness. God is manifested in the flesh. God is manifested in the flesh. That means through your human being, through your humanity, of course, not through the fallen humanity, but through the new man, through death and resurrection, the Lord created the new man, and this new man would be renewed according to the image of him who created him. And it would be perfected in truth and in holiness. But after we were saved, and even after a long time in the church, what is your goal in the church life? Right? We have to see this, brothers and sisters. And that's why it's good for us to see the four living creatures. God's glory is so wonderful. The entire creation. Four. How many living creatures are there? Is one enough? Too few. Then how many? Two? Two or three? Four. How many tires does your car have? Four. It's more stable than a bicycle and safer than a motorcycle. Who built the first car? Or we come back to the same thing. It's another strange question. If men would already know that if you build a car, you need four wheels, where did they get this idea from? That's how it is, brothers and sisters. Man is not wiser or smarter than God. God is always the first one. Four living creatures. One is not sufficient. Not two. Three is not good either. But it's four. Of course, the number four also signifies God's creation. The number four. They're the four seasons. They're the four winds. North, south, east, west. Right. Four is the number for the creation of God. But do remember that even the New Jerusalem, how many sides does it have? It has four sides. It's a square. The number four is an important number in the Bible. And the number four also means that it's a square. It's very well balanced. The measurements of the city of God, even in the book of Ezekiel, you can see that 500 ellen, 500 ellen, 500 and 500. cubits. It's all so balanced. With us, one side is longer and the other side is too short. And in the end, you do not have a square. You have a trapezoid. You have a trapezoid. Is that nice? Do you want to live in such a room? It's 1 meter here, and then there's 10, and there's 7 meters on the other side. In the end, you can't do anything with that room. Where would you want to put the window and your furniture? You have to see that for the building and also for the glory of God, God doesn't want to build something in any old way. You may say, oh, one cherub is good enough. Is that good enough? No. That's not good enough. We people always want to be, one person, or one alone. We need the president up there, and he will be ruling. And one pastor, one pope. He alone. Are you alone in the church? Are you the boss in the church? Do we have a pope here in the church? How many responsible brothers are there? How many elders are there in the church? One alone so that he'd be the king? How many? Okay, four, you may say. And these four, is one a bishop? And the others are second-class elders. They also have to listen to the bishop. Who is a bishop among you? I have seen. There's one. I am the apostle. Oh, my goodness. In the Bible, the apostle is the Lord. In the book of Hebrews, behold, the one high priest and the one apostle is the Lord himself. We do not need a balance. He is all very well balanced. But we people, whoa, if I were the only one that he is responsible and everybody has to listen to me, and if I fall over, then we all fall over? If a Mercedes-Benz only has, if the car only has one wheel in the middle, then in the end we all would be dizzy. Have we not experienced this before? There has to be four. God is very wise. There are the four seasons in a year. It's very good and very wonderful. Right? In a place where the winter is very long and the summer is very short, people will not be very healthy. Would you like to live in the North Pole? That's not healthy. That's not good, and that's not healthy. It's not well balanced. And here in the church, it's so wonderful when we have this number four. That means it's a square. It's well balanced. This side is exactly like the other side. The north side is exactly like south side, or the west side. There's truly a fellowship. No one would say, I am Peter, and you all have to listen to me. That is very important for us to see. Even God, he did not just get the cherub himself. You know, Satan, in the book of Ezekiel, we will see that he was the most beautiful one, the wisest ones. He was the most. He was the very most. And what happened to him in the end? He became Satan. Be careful. We, people, and creation in itself, we are not able to have such a glory. In the end, you'll be proud. Pride is a sickness. It's a sickness. Even among the angelic beings. In the end, we become the king. The Pope. Sitting on the throne. Surely, that is not right. We should not tolerate that. That is not the way of God. Do not be the king in your church. Do not do that. We need the brothers. We need other brothers. And together, like these four living creatures, you would say, oh yeah, they have the, each one have four faces. Each one have the same face. They can see everywhere. The one cherub alone would be sufficient. That's what we think. But that's not God's way. The four living creatures, wonderful. And each of these four living creatures had four faces. How many faces do you have? Just one. That's not good. Two faces is not good either. A person with two faces, that's not good. But the Bible tells us here that the four living creatures, each one of them had four faces. Four faces. Just like our Lord when he came to this earth. Why do you think that there are four Gospels? Isn't the Gospel of John sufficient? You see, down with a publisher, we just print one gospel, the Gospel of John, because we think, oh, that's the most important. Then you only have the Gospel of John. Where's the Gospel of Luke? It's only so short. And Mark. Do you love the Gospel of Mark? And people mostly just read the Gospel of John. But you know, the Gospel of John just shows the face of the eagle, and it's most of the time it's hidden, it's in the back. And you want to turn the face in the back to the front. Oh, Lord Jesus. It's not a joke. That's not a joke. You know, the people in the world, they're religious ones, always want to show that they're so mighty, they can work miracles and they can heal people. If I touch you, you'll fall over. They want to show that they're so powerful. But when the Lord Jesus was on this earth, what did he show? All those who saw him, they said, oh, we know this man. Oh, his father and his mother and his brothers and sisters. He comes from Nazareth. What good thing can come out of Nazareth? Did the Lord send forth thunder and lightning each day? And several times, when he did a miracle or he showed a vision, he told the people, do not blow the trumpet. That means this trumpet, the mouth. Each one of us have a trumpet, a big one and a loud one. Don't you have one? Especially when we criticize people and when we gossip, then our trumpets would be really loud and clear. But the Lord always said to them, do not say anything. When we perform a miracle, and it's not even a real miracle, and we want the whole world to know about it. So in these four living creatures, the Lord put the face of an eagle in the very back, very hidden. Where would you have put the face of the eagle? And some brothers we see in the front of the face is just the face of a lion. When you see this brother, oh, you're already are afraid. You don't want to speak to him because as if you would be devoured if you would speak to him. The face of a lion. And that of an ox. So, brothers and sisters, we all need to see in the church life, especially the leading brothers, the elders in the church, but not only they are an example. That means that the others all need the same example. They all need to do the same. In the front, there is the face of a man. The humanity of the Lord is very important in the church. That has to be our main expression in the church. When the people come to the church, they have to see many normal people, but not some people that are dancing around. They have to see that here is a group of people that have a special humanity, namely the humanity of our Lord Jesus, well-balanced, full of mercy, full of understanding, patient, friendly. What is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5? Healing, wonder, deeds of wonder, power, might and power. Is that it? Should we read it? Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is a lion very loving? The fruit of the Spirit is love. And what else? Joy. I have not seen a joyful lion yet. Peace. Have you seen a peaceful lion before? Not that either. Long-suffering. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. That's a wonderful characteristic of mankind. These are all human characteristics, right? Gentleness, self-control. Oh, so many wonderful human expressions. That's a fruit of the Spirit. And that is what the Spirit in us wants to bring forth. That's first of all. That doesn't mean that it's only that, but that must be in the foreground. That's our frontal expression. The expression of a man That's in the very front. So when you see the four living creatures, I cannot draw here. I'm not an artist here. When we draw such a square, let's say here's a square, and here you have a living creature, and here's another living creature, and there also, there are living creatures. And in the back, there's also the living creatures. They're the four living creatures. In the forefront, it's always the face of a man. No matter which direction you look at, there's always the face of a man in front. Of course, when you look on this side, on the left side, you see an ox. In the Bible, the ox is a head of the cattle. And that means that it has the strength to serve. In the Bible, it shows us that it's a life of service. We also need to have this face. You cannot say that, oh, I only have one face, and then, oh, I don't want to serve. And each of these living creatures, they have on the left side the face of an ox. On this side, you see the face of a man, but on the left side, you would see the face of an ox. And on then on the other side, you see the lion. And then an eagle at the very back, and the man's face in front. That means no matter which direction you'll be looking at, first of all, you see the humanity. The church is a new man, but in this picture, you see the lion, but not in the front. Why the face of a lion? Because there's an enemy. There's the power of darkness. There are so many enemies of the Lord. There's religion. When the Lord was on this earth, he was surrounded by enemies. The Pharisees, especially the scribes, Satan himself, the power of darkness, they all rose up against him. Do you think that if the Lord just had the face of a man and not the face of a lion? In Matthew 23, the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Woe unto you!" Which face was it? That's the face of a lion. Can you say that? You're so nice, you only have one face. You cannot say, "Oh, woe unto you." You cannot even bring it. You cannot even say that. But you would say, "Oh, we all have to love. We have to love everybody." And each day you just talk about the love and patience, and love and patience. If the church is only like that, we take everything in, and in the end, we would have much to do. There's also something that does not belong here. Then we would have to say, no, no. That will not work. And if you continue to do your nonsense here, then you will see my face of a lion. Roar. But you do not see that. You do not see it that often. But when it is necessary, when the Lord went into the temple, you know, with all the money changes and all the merchants and with all the sheep and their cows. What did they do? He says, oh, dear people, you are not supposed to do that in the house of the Lord. Would you please go outside and do your business? Did the Lord say that? No? Do you mean that the Lord has no love? Is your Lord so impossible? Isn't your God love? Oh, I'm sorry. Our Lord has four faces. It depends on the situation. But we, oh Lord, we only have one face, just like the brother said, one face. Now you know, you also need the face of a lion. But do not show that face that often. In the end, all the saints would be afraid of you. Some brothers just have a very serious face. Oh, that I know in certain places. No one can say anything to them. When you come to him, he'll say, no. Should we do this? No. Is that good? No. And don't ask me anymore, okay? If a leading one only has such a face, do you think that the church would be able to go on? That it doesn't work that way. No, please. You know, for the saints, we need such a face of a man. And also, there's so much to do in the house of the Lord, to serve. We serve the saints. We love to serve. Without preference, wherever there's a need, we're there. An ox. An ox is an animal of service. It's always serving. And in order to serve, you need the strength. You cannot be like a cat. You cannot put a yoke on a cat and tell the cat to go work on the field. Come on, cat. Do not force the saints to serve. Some really cannot serve. You cannot put a yoke on the neck of a cat and say, go. Go plow the soil. It doesn't work that way. We shouldn't do that. But in order to serve, we must have the ox. You see, when the Lord came, not to be served, but to serve, he said, the Son of Man came not to be served. You know, oftentimes in the church, we want to be served. You say, come, I'm here in the church. How come you don't serve? How come the brothers don't serve me? Then you complain, and no one does something, anything for us. Why? Why would we not rather serve the others and not expect to be served by others? When Jesus was on this earth, did he not serve everywhere he went? And he served not to become, in order to become famous, because he did not even expect a thank you. But he served because he had sympathy, because he saw the need. There's such a need. He who serves in the church, he would see the need everywhere. He who does not want to serve, you see something dirty on the. So why do you vacuum the floor? He says, oh, he who doesn't want to serve does not see the dirt. But our brother Manfred Sübke, he sees all the dirt. He sees the dust. He says this and that. It's strange. Right? A serving one. He sees the need everywhere. Sometimes in the church, the saints have so many needs, and yet we do not see it. Oh, that doesn't matter, and this doesn't matter. Oh, that can wait. This doesn't matter. The Lord would do it already. How should the Lord do it if not through you? So the four living creatures are very, very important, brothers and sisters. They're very important. The Lord doesn't want one or two or three. It's still not enough. Four. So in the church, it is very good that we all serve together and we do it together in oneness. But unfortunately, among the Christians, they cannot be one. Oh, when we serve together, then you have to listen to me. Amen? If not, then you can do it yourself. That's how it is. But even the cherubims there, and this glory, in this vision, we see that although each one of them had four faces and they have wings, no matter wherever they went, they went very quickly. They were capable. It has nothing to do with your ability. Sometimes the more capable you are, the more you are a loner. You do everything by yourself. Leave me alone. I'll do it. Either I do it or you do it. But let me do it or you can do it. I'll go sleep. We all are like that. But these four living creatures, in their movement, their wings touch each other. In your movement, do you go alone? You have two wings. You know, in this world, two wings means that now you're free to go. The birds have two wings. What do the Germans say? Free as a bird. That means now they have their wings. They can fly alone. Do you think that they can fly by themselves? Each one? And here is one wing. It touches the other. They're joined. And on this side, there's also a wing. And this other one also has a wing that's joined to the other. There's also a wing here. And here's also a wing. Try to fly away by yourself. Where are you? Are you this one here? Are you that one? Or the other one? It's 12 o'clock. Let's stop here. Let's all fly back here tonight. But we have to see that the four living creatures are necessary for the glory of God. You'll see this point. If we see this point, we'll gain much. Because the church life should not be different. The principle is the same. If among the angelic beings there's such a wonderful coordination in oneness, in perfect harmony, we have not attained this in the church yet. And it's without organization. Without having one great person who sits up there and tells us what to do. It all depends on this wonderful life that is within us. And I am convinced that after all these years, we have experienced something. But it has to be brought to all the way to the end. Without this vision, it's not going to work. Praise the Lord. Amen.